at the core of it, as much as I'd like to say that I'm comfortable in my own skin, mm-hmm. that's not always the case.
Where are your pants from? Can we get a fit check, Felix?
Yo.
Let's do this. Are those 95s?
So from Fried Rice, New York City. Shout out Fried Rice.
Okay, let's go Fried Rice.
Don Barbados.
I feel like this
Nike's birthday gift from Josh. Shout out Josh.
Shout out Josh. And then where's your chain from?
Famous Jewelers, New York City.
Yes. Shout yes. out. I was with you.
Yeah, you were right? with me when I bought this.
Yeah. But yeah, everyone, welcome back to another episode of Prugogi Pod. Today we have on my friend Felix. But yeah, Felix and I know each other through a bunch of like mutual friends, mm-hmm. mutual connect. I feel like it's like 12 ways.
Yeah.
Like through 12 different people.
Yeah, I feel like the Korean community is so small in LA, you know?
Oh yeah.
Everyone knows everyone. It's kind of scary.
Dude, no, that's like a big reason why I am the way that I am, because I'm like always overthinking about like my reputation and how I'm being perceived. Because everyone talks.
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone talks.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess in terms of like impressions and whatnot, I'm curious. So Felix, we've known each other for like how many years would you say? I think it's been like 5 years.
At least five.
Right? Yeah. Okay. And do you have any first impressions of me?
I think number one, it's very rare to find someone as outgoing as you are. And bubbly.
Wow, know? Yeah.
Because like, especially like the first thing that most people say about me when they see me is like they didn't like to talk to me when they first met me because they think I was intimidating.
Uh-huh.
But I do recall you like straight up just coming up to me and just like chopping it up. And I was like, wow, like she's really chill. Like very outgoing. Love that.
You know? Yeah. Okay, nice. Yeah, because I remember when we first met, it was like I had known of you for so long. You know, like it's like, oh, they went to San Francisco to get like you went to San Francisco oh with like God. A bunch yeah. of like people, and I was like, oh, why wasn't I invited to that? But it's okay. But because I like had known of you, I was mm-hmm. like, okay. I'm just going to be like upfront about, oh, mm-hmm. hi, like I know of you.
Yeah.
But yeah, first impression wise, I will say like you do initially come off intimidating.
Got the RBF.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's a mixture of RBF and like I think you had a buzz cut at the time.
No.
You didn't?
No, I had that typical like slick back hair, like all oh. Asian dudes had.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah. Hella gel.
Yeah, hella gel. I'd be spending like all my paychecks on gel. Just like
and so yeah, I will say first impression wise, I was a little bit intimidated, but then like through the interactions and through the years, I feel like I'm like, oh, Felix is like I think the ultimate like gentleman. Like one thing I always say about you is like you will always be the one to walk me to my car. Like I remember there was one specific night
oh.
where it was me, you, and like three other guys, and then all the other guys like had carpooled, whatever, everyone mm-hmm. left, and you were the only one that was like, oh, Hannah, of course I'll walk you to your car. Like that's a given. It's always a given.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, he's looking out for me in the streets of LA, you know? And so yeah, I think first impression, I was like, oh, he has a hard exterior, but I think you're a softie at heart.
I'm a softie.
Yeah.
I'm a softie. I won't even front.
Yeah. And so yeah, just to get into the episode a little bit. I think, you know, in trying to come up with topics, I was like kind of joking around to Felix, and I was like, oh, I have a topic idea. Like, why are you so single? And then he came back with a hella deep answer about like identity and like self-perception.
Yeah.
And so I guess like right when I had initially brought up like your singleness,
mm-hmm.
Like how did the identity and the self-perception idea kind of come up?
I've been single for like 7 years now.
Okay, nice.
The longest I've talked to someone in that time span, probably like 3 months-ish.
Oh, that's a good amount of time. That's a talking stage.
Yeah, that's a talking
stage. That's straight up officially talking.
Yeah, and like, I don't think it's a problem with like the people I see or the problem with me. It's just kind of like, I've been so deep into like my own mental and like trying to figure out myself that I don't think I've really had the time or energy to kind of focus on dating anyone.
Yeah.
And so that's where the whole thing about like self-perception and identity come in, because it's something like I really think about all the time.
Wait, I love that, because I think like my headspace as of late has like kind of morphed into that, because I mm-hmm. think like last year, like even the year prior, I was very focused on like dating. Like I think it was just like something that I had gotten used to, like taking up brain space. But then like literally I was like, oh my gosh, I need to take a break, because I feel like I'm being crazy.
Dude, it gets to you.
Because like emotions are involved, like mm-hmm. future thinking is involved.
Yeah.
And then I don't know about it, but but I will say like all of the extra time I've had like has been so rewarding, in that I'm like finally able to like think about like my identity, like who I am, and like what I like, even like down to those basic things. Because even like I think I've started to question like how I view myself, like my self-perception. And so I guess in terms of that, like how would you say you view yourself, and then how would you say you think others view you?
So this is a tough question to answer. Like I think at the very core, I absolutely, like, really dislike the idea of being perceived.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's like, do not perceive me. Don't look at me. Like, let me just exist and be myself, you know? But on, like, on the flip side, I also think it's, like, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to share in, like, a space or an experience with other people. And, like, at the end of the day, we're all just humans, like, doing our thing, like, living our daily lives. And just, like, I think the whole core or basis of being human is just like our ability to kind of like really understand each other and like share experiences with each other. And in that case, it is such a beautiful thing. But at the same time, I'm just like, please don't look at me, which is hella funny because I'm on a podcast right now. Like I'm about to be perceived by so many people.
Right. And then you also like dress well. And so like that draws attention, sir.
That was like a very recent thing, I think. I think in this journey of like trying to find more about myself and be more comfortable in my skin, in the recent years, I've really been like experimenting with just like clothes and like how I look and how like I present myself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I think like depending on my mood, like my outfit will change. And then I always notice like there is a distinct difference between like when I look bummy, I feel bummy, you know what I mean? Dude. Versus like the confidence I hold myself in when I'm like, oh, this is a good outfit. Not for anyone else, but like for me, like this is a good outfit.
Yeah, I mean, like even coming today, I was like, yo, okay, I need to dress up a little just so I'm feeling myself, you know, coming in. And I'm sure you do that all the time. I watch your podcast. You like come in fits and everything.
I try. Yeah, I went shopping in Korea. So
she went shopping in Korea.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, when it comes to like the perception, do you like try to ignore or like not think about what other people think of you?
I do to an extent. I think it's interesting because like when I'm alone, I think about it a lot. Like I think of like maybe after I hang out with someone, I'm like, how was I in that situation? Was I present in the moment, or was I really focused on like how I was being perceived? Right.
Uh-huh.
But I do realize that when I am in the moment of things, I like don't really think about it at all. Really, I'm like very much in the moment kind of guy. Like I'm just like kind of vibing, just experiencing, just living, that I don't really think about how others are perceiving me. But also that kind of bites me in the butt sometimes, because like my sister says, like, you're a very like you wear your heart on your sleeve kind of guy, you know, you're just like, take me as I am.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I feel like that's like you have to know when to do that, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
for me too. I don't think I really think about like how I'm being perceived by others mm-hmm. as much as I used to. I think like, you know, when you like will hang out with somebody and you like say something stupid
yeah.
and then like that's all you can think about for the rest of the night.
You, you know?
Yeah. And so I don't like dwell on it like that, but I do notice like randomly, like literally like years later, I'll think about a cringy thing I did.
Oh, that's the worst.
And it'll just pop up and I'm like, shit, shut it down. And yeah. So I'll just shut it down.
Yeah.
And so like, but it takes like effort on my end to mm-hmm. like not dwell on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like kind of like having to like pinch yourself out of a dream or something.
Yes.
Cause like, if you don't, like, you're just stuck in a loop where you keep replaying that scenario and you're just like, ah, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Like, it's so embarrassing. But at the end of the day, like, no one thinks about that, you know?
Yeah.
Only you do.
Yeah, that's facts.
I hope.
I do think there are certain situations where I'm like, oh shit, they definitely are thinking about that.
Yeah.
Like, where it's like outrageous, where yeah. I'm like, oh shit. But I think like reminding myself, like, nobody's thinking about you as much as you are thinking about you.
Yes.
Has been like so key in like not living mm-hmm. in my head.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's like so important to have like a friend group that are like, at the end of the day, they just take it as a joke and they're like, you know, it's your friends, you know, you can be comfortable with each other. And like, I know just like our mutual friends, like we're the type, like we'll roast the shit out of
yeah.
each other for
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
But like, we'll always just be like, it's just laugh about it, you know? And
right.
at the end of the day, like, I think that's the most important thing, that you're able to just laugh at yourself about it.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think like not taking yourself too seriously is yeah. always like a good quality, like something that I like try.
Because yeah.
I'm just like, what the... Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, yeah, literally. And so, actually, I have another example of this that has come up recently. Mm-hmm. And so, for like a little bit of background context, I was like talking to my parents about this in Korea, about how like, you know how you only accept facts that support your argument?
Yeah.
Like, you know how, like, that's, like, one of the flaws of social media?
Yeah, it's, like a tendency.
Yeah, like, you will only follow accounts that, like, have the same viewpoint as you.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that same way, I think one thing I've been thinking about is, like, I have always, like, viewed myself as what you described. Like, mm-hmm. like bubbly, like, very, like not afraid to talk to people, like, optimistic.
Yeah.
And so I notice that whenever I have feelings that go against that, there's like a lot of like friction, because mm-hmm. it's almost like I can't accept it. So like, for example, if I get angry, like if I start getting angry at like a friend or
yeah.
my dad or whatever, I think a lot of times I think that I'm doing a good job of like suppressing the anger,
mm-hmm.
when in reality my tone is very hard on my sleeve. Like, you know exactly what I'm feeling.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You know what I mean? And so I think that's like one of the biggest examples of like, I guess, like me trying to uphold this image
mm-hmm.
that I think I should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it's like necessarily bad that I have certain characteristics I want to embody, like
mm-hmm.
optimism and, you know, bubbliness and all that. But yeah, I'm like curious as for you, like, are there certain qualities that like you currently like maybe don't possess that you want future Felix to possess, that you've been working on?
At the core of it, as much as I'd like to say that I'm comfortable in my own skin,
mm-hmm.
that's not always the case. You know, there's so many things that I've had to kind of like unlearn growing up. And like things like this, where it takes a lot of patience. And like, to be honest, patience is like one of the virtues I am lacking.
Aww.
Like, it's so difficult for me to be patient, and I just don't know why. And like, just like you said, like I'm such a like wear your heart on your sleeve kind of guy. Like, I have very little patience for myself. Luckily,
oh.
I do have more patience for others than I do for myself.
Right.
But, like, I hold myself to such a high standard. And, like, I want to always strive to be the best version of myself.
Right.
That I don't realize that striving to be the best version of myself oftentimes holds me back. You know, because I'm holding, like, putting so much pressure on myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know? It's, like, not giving yourself, like, the actual, like, room to like take your time and grow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess one of the qualities, to answer your question, that like I'm trying to strive for is actually not so much of like being more patient or being like this or being like this type of person. It's more so just like being comfortable, you know, just being like it's comfortable enough and confident enough to go like, this is who I am. I am a human being. I'm flawed. And that's completely okay.
Right. You know, right.
Like there's no reason to beat yourself up. There's no reason to like hold yourself to an unrealistic standard. Cause like, especially in the age of social media,
you know,
it's like all these like influencers or people are like, yeah, like this is the life I live. It's so perfect. Like on media, like I'm such a nice person and stuff, but like, and you're like, oh, like I need to be like that. I need to be like that. I can't allow myself to be angry or sad or whatever. But like, no, you should be. Like, if you're angry, you should be angry. If you're sad, you should cry. Like, you should be able to really get in touch with your emotions. I think that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to be way more in touch with my emotions.
Ooh.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, how you grew up and whatnot, I think, right, that impacts, like, how you're able to process your emotions. Like, do you think that you were given the space or, like, the tools to process your emotions as an Asian American man?
Absolutely the fuck not. I think, so, like, as an Asian American man, like, toxic masculinity, dude, is so rampant. It's literally a freaking, like, plague on our community.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Like, Korean culture in general. Like, I'm Korean, like, Korean-American, or Korean culture, like, they have their own, like, bouts of toxic masculinity that they really need to figure out.
Yeah.
American society has their own bouts of toxic masculinity that they need to figure out, and putting that together,
it's
like,
the ultimate.
It's a recipe for disaster, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember growing up, and, like, the most, like, I was such a crybaby as a child, you know?
Oh,
I cried so much as a kid.
I'm literally crying for me right now.
No, that's a good thing, though. Like, they're in touch with your emotions, right?
Right, right. Oh, because you cried as a child.
Yeah, I cried so much as a kid. But, like, I recall always, like, my parents and, like, adults being like, you're a man. Why are you crying? Like, a man's got to be, like, a man. You shouldn't be, like, crying and stuff. And, like, it sucks because, like, now I feel like I'm unable to cry, you know? There's so many times where, like, I read a sad book or, like, I watch a sad show. I listen to a sad song and I just cannot for the life of me cry. I feel it.
Right.
I feel the pain. I'm like, damn, like, I just need a really good cry right now. But it just doesn't come out. And I'm like, I wonder if this is because of what was taught to me, like, in my youth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of, like, unlearning, like, that sort of stuff, like, do you try, this sounds crazy. Do you, like, actively try to cry?
I think very early on when, like, I first identified this issue and I first was like, okay, like, this is not healthy. Like, I need to, like, unlearn this toxic masculinity. And, like, one of the first things was, like, I need to, like, let myself feel my emotions out. Like, I definitely try to make myself cry.
Right.
But, like, it just wasn't working for
me. Yeah.
You, like, can't really force yourself to do that stuff. It just feels inauthentic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, if it's not authentic, like, I just don't like it.
Right. Know? Right. It's like, oh, I feel like I'm, like, putting on, like, kind of a show. Yeah. It's, yeah, that's weird. That's literally, that's strange. Because, yeah, I mean, like, I think the reason I'm a crybaby now is because in ways I almost feel like as the eldest daughter, experiences are, like, a little bit similar as to, like, being a son. Because my dad wanted a son, you know? And so, like, I'm sure he, like, raised me a little bit, like, tougher than, you know, like, someone who, like, wanted daughters. But all through middle school, high school, like, I really didn't cry often. And so I feel like now it's, like, literally every week I'm just like, I'm just gonna cry. And, like,
yeah, who's gonna stop me?
No, yeah, literally. And I think more than anything, I cry when, like, I have to express my emotions to somebody else, like my mom, let's say, because like I think it's like so much like suppressing on my end that like when it comes to like finally talking about things, I'm like not I'm like uncomfortable with it.
Yes,
you know.
No, definitely. I 100% relate. Like, now that I think about it, one time, like, the one time that guaranteed, like, I'll tear up, like, I'll start crying, is that the things I've been bottled up for so long that like you just like hold inside when like, for example, like you said, talking to your parents about things that like kind of traumatized you, you know, like for sure the waterworks are going to come out.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So like, do you feel like being like the eldest, right? Did you feel like there was so much pressure to like not show your emotions? So you have to be tougher for like your sister and stuff too?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think like, I mean, this was a big part of like the conversation I had in Korea with my parents was that like, so background, my dad is the oldest of three sons. My mom is the oldest of three daughters. And so when two oldest children get together and have an oldest child, they're only going to be raising me from like their own perspective. And so it was always like, oh, take care of your sister. Like literally, I think one of my like first core memories is like my mom being like, oh, take care of your sister. And like me, like just being like, okay, like this is my job. And so I think like something that my parents had said to me in that combo was like, oh, we feel like we didn't give you enough attention because we were so focused on like you taking care of your sister, of your little sister. And so like, I think in ways I've like seen that play out in my life currently, because it's almost like I know I need attention and affection and all of that, but I am not somebody who will like vocalize that ever. And so it's almost like I suffer in silence, you know, because yeah, they've always just been like, oh, like you need to be responsible, like Ujima, like all that stuff. Like even now, like I cried the other day when I went home to like visit my parents. My grandma was like, why are you always crying? And I'm like, dude, I'm gonna get a tattoo that says crybaby, because like
I'm weak. I'm gonna show it right to you, grandma.
Yeah, literally, because this is me. And so yeah, I do think like, you know, being the eldest daughter, it's you know, it's a tough job, and like I'm now unpacking all the trauma.
Yeah. I feel like it's something that like our generation jokes a lot about, you know, like the traumas of being the oldest sibling, especially like the oldest sibling as like a woman, you know. Shout out to my sister, dude. Like without my sister, I do not think I would be as mentally stable as I am right now. For sure.
Oh,
like,
really?
My sister had so much pressure on her to, like, protect me growing up and, like, basically raise me when my parents couldn't.
Right.
And, like, that's not an easy thing to do or to ask of someone who's, like, barely, like, older than you.
Right,
you know?
Right. Like, you're a child like, trying to raise a child.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so, like, as the oldest, you're kind of forced to grow up way quicker than you should, right? And then, like, as the youngest, like, I'm blessed, you know? Like, my parents have the experience now. I not only have both my parents, but I have my sister to take care of me.
Right, a third parent.
Like, I'm not even going to lie. In that regard, I was spoiled. Like, I was a fucking brat, you know?
Right, and then was it your sister that, like, whipped you into shape?
Oh, for sure. Like, I definitely think the impact that my sister had on, like, me growing up is far greater than the impact my parents had. Absolutely. Like, I think she's the reason I'm really not a gangpae right now. Like a little thug. Like,
right. Well, she's the reason you, like, you walk people to their cars.
No, absolutely. I think growing up with, like, just, like, a family, a very strong woman has really taught me to like, has basically just taught me like being a woman is way harder in my opinion than being a man. The things that women have to face in society, especially a society where it's run by this toxic masculinity, like
just privileged
men, like it's so not right.
Right.
It's definitely like, yeah, like, and that's why it really irks me when I see, like, my guy homies, you know, joke about this kind of thing. Because I'm like, yo, you guys don't understand. I don't even understand. And I saw it firsthand with, like, my family.
Right,
you know?
Right. Like, the only people who will ever understand, like, to the extent is, like, people who've experienced
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I can't even begin to imagine what it would have been like to switch places with my sister, you know? And, like, to be honest, I don't even want to imagine it.
Yeah, because yeah, if you were a gangpe right now, like oh, you'd be scary.
Yo, I don't even know where I'd be.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. No, I do think like, you know, okay, maybe it's in hindsight, but I can like tell in behaviors that like certain people are only children, like certain people like grew up with sisters.
Oh, it's so obvious.
I can definitely, it's so obvious. Like I can totally tell.
Yeah.
You know? And so yeah, shout out to your sister.
Yeah, shout out to my sister.
Yeah, for being such a like stable figure.
I mean, she's probably not gonna watch this, but
okay, that's fine. That's totally fine.
I'm dead.
Speaking of like how you've grown up with your sister and like I can see that like you're like growing into like who you are. Would you agree with that statement?
I think I'm on the right path.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely feel more comfortable in my skin than I did like a year ago, for example. You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
In what way?
I think I stopped holding myself to unrealistic standards. I think I really dropped the amount I care about things that society says you should care about.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, dude, my social media. Non-existent. Like,
oh my gosh, guys, I like went to stalk Felix today and literally I was like, where did this photo go? And then I went to his tagged, everything is gone,
removed.
Yeah,
like I don't know if you remember, but like this is like my I think in my life this is like probably my third or fourth Instagram account. Okay. I've deleted the past three.
Wait, like, I looked for your old one too. Yeah, and I was like, where did it
gone,
go?
You know, I think there was a point where like during COVID I just like I was consuming so much media and like just like doom scrolling and like
doom scrolling, yeah,
all this shit. And I was like, I really don't care.
Mm.
I really couldn't care less.
Mm.
I think that social media, as amazing of a tool as it is,
mm-hmm.
with all the amazing possibilities that have come out of it, is such a plague on our society of what is becoming, you know?
Yeah.
I think people really, it's like, don't judge a book by its cover, but if you're judging way too much off its cover, then like that's kind of a problem. You know what I
facts,
mean?
Facts, facts. Like, why do I look at my own Instagram page and think about how other people are viewing it?
Yeah,
you know,
like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know, or like, I remember like friends commenting on my stuff, going like, "Hey, like this, like your page is like not aesthetic." I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Okay, that's a little, that's kind of extreme.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird, dude.
Who are you hanging out with? That's crazy.
But like, these are like people who are heavily into social media and stuff. And
right.
They're like, it was, I will say this was very early on where like Instagram was popping off in like 2000, like, I don't know, 16, 17.
Right, where right? You had to have an aesthetic.
You had to have an aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like a theme or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
I'm just like, dude, I could not care less.
Right.
Like truly, no.
Right, you right, know? Right, right.
But like for the longest time I did. Like for the longest time I did. I like got into that world. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like influencers are so cool.
Oh,
musicians,
yeah, yeah.
Like following this, knowing this person.
Right. Yeah.
And now I'm at this stage where like I could meet one of the most popular famous people in the world and like if they're an asshole or like I just don't vibe with them, I just could not care less about them, truly.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
because I think right, like we've been in like pretty crazy circles where I'm mm-hmm. like, oh shit, like you're like actually famous.
Yeah,
but then you just start to realize like, oh, you're literally just a human being with followers.
Yeah.
You know, and like
exactly.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of like it took time, of course, to get to that point. But like, I was like, oh, if I don't vibe with you, like, I don't vibe with you. Like, I don't care how many
exactly.
followers or clout or whatever.
There was a point in time where I realized that the amount of followers you have doesn't correlate to who you are as a person, but it's more so about how you utilize a formula.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, what does that matter?
Right.
You know?
Right.
That, it doesn't. In the grand scheme of things, like, when we're all gonna die, it's just like, who cares how many followers you have?
Yeah.
Unless you use that platform for a good cause.
Right.
In that case, like, I have utmost respect for you. Keep doing it. Like, do your thing. Make the world a better place.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Instagram pages that do that.
Right.
Or Twitter pages and whatever. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's like, if every post is just like, I don't know, your face. And like, look how pretty I am. Comment here. Haha. I'm just like, sure.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Good for you.
Like, yeah.
If that makes you happy, if that gives you fulfillment, that's fine with me. But it's just not my,
right.
It's not my tea. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not sure if this is going to come off accusatory, but I'm going to ask anyways. But you know how you were explaining that you used to hold yourself to unrealistic standards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that you would do that for the people around you as well? Like hold them to unrealistic standards?
No.
Mm.
I think that the standards I hold for myself are in a completely different like theme spectrum versus what I the standards I hold to other people. For other people, like I have like a bare minimum where like if you meet these bare minimum like requirements, then like I fuck with you. And that's like be a good person.
Right.
No, that's it.
Right.
That's straight up it. Like you can be the most socially awkward person. You could be like a straight weirdo and like have very niche interests. Like I don't care. Like, if anything, I'd be kind of interested to hear, like, what you're obsessive about, you know?
Right, right.
But if you, at the very core of things, are not a genuinely nice person, then, like, I want nothing to do with you, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, it's not, like, if they are, it's not that, like, I hate them or anything. Like, I personally don't consider myself to have any enemies, and I don't think I will ever have any enemies. It's just like you're not someone I would like to correlate myself with or have in my life, you know?
Interesting. Yeah.
So standards, like that's it. Like do you?
I mean, no, because I asked that because I think I started to catch myself being what is the word? Like not like being unaccepting of people around me because they were flawed. And like intolerant. Yes, yeah. Intolerant. That was the word.
I've been reading.
Yeah, I think I've been like intolerant of people around me when I like see like their pitfalls as a human being.
Yeah.
And I, upon self-reflection, realized that it's me projecting. Like so I started to realize that I'm so unaccepting of who I am at my core. And like, there are always things on the checklist that I need to improve on that. Like when I see those same flaws come out in other people, I'm like, why are you like that?
Yes.
Because it's always me judging myself. Like, why am I like this?
Yes. No, that is so real.
Yeah. Dude,
it's like an uphill battle. It's a constant thing that it's not like I think everyone goes through that. Or hopefully everyone is aware enough that like that they go through that, you know?
Right.
Because I do the same exact thing, dude. Like, I think the most valuable lesson I learned in the past like 3 years is how detrimental to your mental health an ego is, you know? Like, as like, this is stereotypical, but it's so true. Like, as a Korean American male, I had such a big ego growing up, you know? On top of that, like, with the factoring in like toxic masculinity, factoring the fact that like I played all these competitive sports that were so testosterone heavy where you need an ego to succeed.
Right.
Like it really was taking a toll on my mental health for the longest time, you know? And like at the core of it, if I think about it, like that is the reason I was so uncomfortable in my skin because I wasn't living up to what my ego said I should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean like it's such a hard thing to navigate, right? Because like I've been able to get it under control a bit.
Right.
But like sometimes it'll just come out, you know?
Yeah.
Like yo, even for the stupidest thing.
No, literally the
like, oh, this person cut me off in traffic. Like, who do you think you are? You think your time's more valuable? Like, dude, shut up, Felix. Like, shut up.
I could beat you on the stupid scale. Literally, if I see another girl with like cooler shoes than me, I'll be like, what the fuck?
No.
No, literally, I'm like, oh my god, she has that jewelry piece. Oh my god, like it's like down.
Wait, that's hilarious. That's actually hilarious.
It's down to the materialistic stuff, and so I've been catching myself doing that, and then I just have to like, there's no other option than for me to manually switch it off. Like me, just kill it and be. And then the phrase I've been repeating to myself is love, abundance, gratitude. So I'm like, there's abundance. I can also have the shoes.
I'm dead. There's a but.
There's abundance.
They mass produce this shit, yeah, all right?
Yeah. If it was a limited release, maybe we could just, I'll figure out.
Resell, baby.
Yeah. And so I noticed like my ego come out in those ways, mm-hmm. especially recently. And so I've been just like trying to navigate like killing it. Like, like how do you ego death?
It's hard, you know. It's just like constant reminder that you are not your thoughts. Like, you are not your thoughts. And like, that is something that I really had to drill into my head. And even now, like, it's like sometimes I forget, you know.
Right.
Because like inherently during like the most stressful times of my life, my thoughts were inherently so negative all the time, especially during the pandemic, dude. Like,
oh god,
yeah. And like, I would catch myself and I'm like, this is not who you are. You are not a negative person like this. Like, you are a happy person. You're a positive person. Like, you have so much love to give and receive that, like, why focus on so many negative things, you
know? Right.
But it's hard sometimes. Like, I get you, dude.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I think for me, too, it's, like, almost become, like, those negative thoughts have become subconscious, which I think is, like, that is so dangerous because I think it's, like, me not being present and, like, not really, like, being aware of like my thought patterns, like it's just kind of become just that, like a pattern.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is crazy.
Like, that's such a dangerous thing to fall into, because like once you're in a pattern, like it's like a habit, you know. It's so hard to stop a habit.
Oh yeah. And like, it's easy, like you said, to spiral. Like during the pandemic, like,
oh yeah,
I was, oh gosh, it was like I took like a personality test during that time, and like optimism was the lowest. I'm like, wait, I'm like such an optimistic person.
Yeah.
And so something, you know, about the environment was just, it was doomsday. But you know, we're back to normal ish. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are a lot of the things I've been like this is a lot of the things that have been on my mind of like how to like not project my insecurities or like what the unrealistic standards that I have for myself onto others.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's so difficult, like, well, number one, props to you for even like taking the first step into like trying to unlearn these things or like, you know, trying to make amends with these things, you know? Because like, I think society really doesn't teach us to do this stuff. Like, I don't know, schooling and everything teaches you kind of like how to like conform and like learn this and learn that, but no one really teaches you how to like get in touch with your emotions. Like,
even think for yourself.
Yeah. Honestly, I think therapy should be a class. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Because like, your emotions dictate how you like go about your life, how you carry yourself in your life. So if your mental state is not good, I don't think that you're capable of like being in a good like physical state or like being a good human being, even. You know?
And like, on top of that, like living in like just communities and societies really requires you to be able to engage and interact with others, you know. And so if you're not able to control your own emotions, then like, how can you expect like you to efficiently interact with others and stuff, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like, yo, when I see people with like anger issues or like negative issues and they have like a pet or something.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but
or like, I don't know, like, or if they find a significant other, like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
like,
for
it's
sure.
It's scary. It's like, yeah, like, it's really scary.
Oh, I agree. And it's like, it's a ripple effect in like who you're affecting.
Exactly. You know?
Like, it's not just the significant other. It's like their friend group as well and all of that. Like, so
their friend group, your family, like everyone, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's so difficult. Like, really, truly, if there's like one thing I could just like wish upon everyone, it's like that they just learn to get rid of their ego, you know, just like exist and learn to exist with others and like in this space, you know. This is a shared space. The earth is a shared space.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. And so I'm curious, from like your point of view, do you think that you can answer the question like, who am I? That's a big question.
No, and I think that's okay. I think I would hope that I could never answer that question, to be quite honest with you. You know, I think humans are such like complex creatures, and I think we are in general so multifaceted,
right,
that the day that you can really say like, this is who I am, like, you've kind of stopped growing, truly. And like, I don't believe anyone's ever going to reach like perfection in this lifetime,
right,
you know. So yeah, no,
I love that answer so much. Oh my gosh, because I think I like preach growth mentality, but then I never mm-hmm. thought about it from that point of view of like, mm-hmm. when you can answer who you are, like, yeah, with definitive lines, it just like, it keeps you in that those boxes.
Yeah, at that point I don't think you're human anymore. I think you've ascended.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah. Felix is so big brained.
Bars.
That's freaking crazy. Oh my god, I'm just gonna replay that part of the podcast to just myself over. Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
What about you?
Yes, I agree.
I'm dead.
I agree with Felix. But yeah, I don't think I can answer that question. Like, mm-hmm. I think within like the last like year or so, I've gotten more comfortable like being in this like very mildly chaotic, mildly like almost unstable like part of my life, and I've just kind of accepted it, because I yeah. think this is gonna be the rest of my life of just like learning, growing, and then realizing that like, you know, stages of my life end, but mm-hmm. like new ones begin.
Exactly. It's like, yo, lean into discomfort and like mm-hmm. just find peace within it, you know?
Yeah, because like yeah. I think it makes it so much worse when you're unaccepting of like where you're at, and mm-hmm. like so focused on the discomfort.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's so much more fun that way. Like, I honestly think everyone needs just a bit of chaos in their life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
but life is just a little too boring.
Yeah, I agree. Like, this is the drama. I don't need anyone else to stir drama, because I am yeah, the drama.
I am my own drama.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I think that's it for the episode.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, but yeah. Thank you so much, Felix, for
thank you for having me.
So many bars. There's so much wisdom in that episode. I'm like shook.
I'm dead.
Like, not that I didn't think you were capable of it, but like, but we've never talked about it.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, in the 5 years of friendship, we haven't talked about any of this. Yeah. So yeah, I appreciate the combo. But if you guys want to follow Felix, who doesn't care about social media, it's at @FromJoyBoy on Instagram.
That's me. Shout out One Piece.
Oh, loser.
All right.
Okay, well. No, maybe I need to give it a try before, you know, I like talk shit. But yeah, you guys can follow him there. And then, as always, be sure to check out Moldu Studio as well as Malm Market. We are partnering with them. Yeah, we're in their beautiful recording space. And then you guys can find Purgogi Pod on all social platforms. I haven't asked you guys to do this in a while, but please be sure to like rate and review our show on both Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And that's it for today. Woo. Yay. Bye.
Bye.